Hey guys, thanks for tuning in today to the JTP Church podcast. We hope God speaks to you through this message. If you want to share with us what God is doing in your life, you can write us at hello@jtp.church. If you would like to partner with us and make a financial gift to our ministry, you can visit us at www.jtp.church and make a donation. Now sit back and enjoy the message.
Holy Spirit. Is there anybody here that is hungry for God? I wish you'd let them know out loud. Feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. Isn't it amazing that God could just show up in one place? And if you're sensible, if you're open, if you're a person of faith, you feel Him. I mean, you can't see God, but you can feel Him, that He's ministering, that He's here. And when God is present, anything could happen. You could have walked in through those doors with issues, but the fact that God is here, those issues become resolvable. Even if it's impossible to your understanding, to God, there's nothing that's impossible. And that's the God that we serve. That's the God that is here present today. Amen. You guys may be seated. Worship team, amazing job as always. We love you guys. Thank you for what you do. Just got back from Argentina. We were there since Tuesday morning, and we were establishing, actually helping out two of our churches. We have two churches in Buenos Aires, Argentina, one in a place called Ituzaingó, which is where I was born, a place that is really close to my heart. It's a small church, and we're about to move locations. It's crazy what the pastors there are doing. They sold a van, their only means of transportation, so they could use the money of that van to get into this new place. I mean, is that a step of faith or what? That's when you believe God, and those are the type of actions that opens the door so God could do amazing things. So keep them in your prayers, please. JTP Ituzaingó, that's what the place is called. I know it's a weird name, but try to remember it, Ituzaingó. And then there's another place, my cousin David, his parents are pastoring in Marcos Paz. It's a place that's about, from the center of the city, it's about an hour and a half away. And it's a place that's been growing a lot. It used to be completely farmland. The last I remember it when I was a kid, I remember running with my cousins. It was just land up to where your eyes could see. I mean, all you see is land. And there was just one house, which was my aunt's house. But it's amazing how, you know, they've become populated through the year. It's grown a lot. And we just finished lifting up a building in that place. And we did the first service. I had the honor of preaching that first service that they did in that temple. It was amazing. Can we give God glory for that? I felt so honored. And it was beautiful to see them. It was so much sacrifice. They had to move from a big place that they were renting into a very little place while they constructed. And in that process, a lot of people left the church. Because you see, sometimes people can't see what the pastor sees. Sometimes people lack vision to see. And now it was funny because a lot of those people that had left in the meantime while they were building, now for the inauguration of the place, they came back and they wanted to be a part of the celebration. There's so much reward for those that paid the price and were there. I believe that God's going to take them to a new level. The place was almost packed. It sits 200 people, and I think we had about 170. So that was the first meeting. Could you imagine what's going to happen from here to a year? I told them, you guys got to start thinking about the next building. It's going to be amazing. So please keep your prayers on check for JTP Ituzaingó and JTP Marcos Paz. They're doing a great job. And I know some of you guys have given money. We've collected money to send over there so they can finish the roof. Man, that's a great harvest that's coming your way. How many of you believe it? I said, how many of you believe it? All right, awesome. I want to speak to you a little bit about waiting room. We've been talking about Jesus' resurrection. We spoke about Jesus' return last Sunday, right? But what happens in the time between where Jesus resurrected and when Jesus returns? We're in that period of time. And I called it today the waiting room. We're in this waiting room and this waiting time. But just because we're in this waiting time doesn't mean that there's no supernatural for us in this time. As a matter of fact, some of the craziest things that God promised are for this time right now. I mean, let me tell you, you may have wanted to live. I know I've heard people say, man, I wish I would have lived in the times where Jesus walked so I could see all the miracles that he did. But let me tell you something. We're living an incredible time right now. Thank you for saying amen. We live an incredible time right now. It's glorious time. We get a chance to speak to people about Jesus. We still have the power of God in our midst so we could see miracles to do greater things even than what Jesus said. He said, "You look, I'm leaving, but you guys are going to do greater things than what I have done." How many are expecting that? How many of you even believe that? Raise your hand if you believe it. Because the amens are kind of shy today for some reason. Right? Maybe you guys ate a little bit too much. So I want to talk to you about the story of Jesus because it's so supernatural. From the creation of the universe and everything we see, to him leaving his throne to make himself immortal and endure rejection and suffering, to his resurrection from the dead and his ascension, and then the plan to return for those who believe and decide to follow him. So now we're going to pick up this story. And if you could follow me in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. This goes hand in hand. I was talking briefly with Gabby and how they selected this song about the Holy Spirit, and I think we're here, right? We're connected spiritually. I think that God wants to do something, and I know the young people also have been ministering about the Holy Spirit. I think God is up to something. I don't know about you, but I don't serve a dead God. I serve a God that's alive. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just come to church and hear somebody speak. I want to see the power of God in my life. And I know I could be also a channel through where that power of God wants to flow to bless other people. So I pray today you connect with everything that God wants to do. As a matter of fact, why don't we pray? Close your eyes right there. Let's surrender our lives to God. Maybe there's some distractions right now that are keeping you from connecting with everything that God wants to do. In Jesus' name, let's give everything unto God. Father, we thank you for this divine appointment that we have tonight. We believe that you are here in this place, and we don't want to dishonor you. We don't want to just come here just to see what we can get out of this. God, we come here with an open heart. We're like sponges. We want to absorb everything that you're throwing our way. We believe that this is a special time that we're living, this waiting room time. God, we want to make the most out of it. We want to see everything that you've left in your word, that you promised that you were going to do. We want to see people getting healed. We want to see dead resurrect. We want to see supernatural things happen all around us, in our streets, in our neighborhoods, in our churches, God, everywhere, wherever we go. And we declare that today we're going to receive a fresh impartation of what your Holy Spirit wants to do in this church, through this church, and inside every single one of us. And all those who believe said, amen. Amen. Awesome. Okay, so Acts chapter 1, verse number 2, and we're going to read through verse 11. It says, until the day in which he was taken up, speaking of Jesus, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Everybody say, the promise. Come on, say it a little bit louder. The promise. Which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They were clueless. They didn't even know what he was talking about. They thought he was going to establish his kingdom here on earth, and he was going to be the king, and he was going to kick all these Romans out. But that's not what he was talking about. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power. Come on, everybody say power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You see why you need the Holy Spirit? This is just one of the reasons. We're going to get into more reasons why you need the Holy Spirit. But the main thing is that without the Holy Spirit, you're powerless. But with the Holy Spirit, you have the power of God. Amen? To change situations, to speak and declare things and watch them happen. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and Hialeah and Miami and Florida and to the end of the earth. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them with white apparel. Everybody said, angels. These were angels. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up to heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. How many say amen? This is an incredible story. And when we get into chapter 2, we're going to read it in a little bit. We start seeing how the power of God came over these disciples. Now, these people were good people. They were common and imperfect people just like you and me. Remember we spoke about the disciples and how Jesus started picking them. They weren't anything special. They weren't religious people. They hadn't been in church all their lives. They were fishermen, tax collectors, sinners, zealots. There were a lot of different types of people. Broken, imperfect, but Jesus chose them. Jesus, during his time here on earth, used them in a way that they did a lot of the things that Jesus did. They also healed the sick. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, it marked a difference in their lives. I mean, they just went to another level. You see, what the devil wants you to settle for is to have a religious life, to have a life where you just come to church, you just listen, and you're not active. You're powerless. But when you start seeking the Holy Spirit, that's a whole nother level because you receive power. How many say amen? When the Holy Spirit fell on them in chapter 2, the Bible calls it Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is not the event where the Holy Spirit fell on them. Pentecost was a feast. And Pentecost, anybody know what it means? Pentecost means 50. Everybody say 50. 50 days after Easter was the feast of Pentecost. I mean, these Jews like to party. They have a lot of feasts. They have a lot of parties. So they had a specific thing, that this ritual, this party that they would do. Everybody will gather and they would partake of this Pentecost. So Pentecost means 50 days from Easter. Now, Jesus resurrected on Easter. And after he resurrected, during 40 days, he started appearing to people. Resurrected. He had a glorified body. And that's when he appeared to the apostles. He appeared to the disciples. And he started sharing a lot of truths. He started telling them a lot of things that were to come. He started giving them that encouragement that you guys, I'm sure, have heard time and time again here in JTP Church. Matthew 28, go and make disciples into all the nations. He started giving them all these instructions. So after 40 days, this that we just finished reading happens. He ascends to go to heaven. So if Pentecost is 50 and Jesus appeared to people and ascended after the 40th days, how many days are missing? 10. So that's how long these people started seeking God. Jesus had told them, look, go into this upper room, and I want you to wait, and I want you to ask for the promise. Everybody say the promise. It was something new. They didn't know what the heck was going to happen. But what I love is that they persevered 10 days. I mean, sometimes we pray for 2 minutes, and if God didn't respond, we're like, okay, maybe God doesn't exist, or maybe God doesn't want to do it. Could you imagine the fervor of being stuck in a room without leaving for 10 days and say, Jesus said to wait and to ask for the Holy Spirit, and until it doesn't come, we're not leaving. If we have to fast, we fast. If we have to, I wish there were people that would see God that way today. Man, this society would shake if people would see God that way. And I believe we're lifting up a generation that's going to seek God that way. That's what we're working for. Thinking back when I was growing up about my grandmother on my dad's side, the one that my dad testified that she was healed of cancer, she's the reason why we all came to Christ, through her situation, through a need. And I remember not a lot of things. She passed away about 15 to 20 years ago, but I do remember her squeaky voice. I do remember how she sounds, the tone of her voice. I remember a few things. I could picture her, like if it was yesterday, grabbing her thermos and drinking mate, which is an Argentinian tea that us Argentinians drink. I remember a few things. And another thing that stands out that I remember about her was one time, I must have been 15 years old, she would come and visit every so often, every couple of years. And I remember she came and I overheard, she was talking to my dad, and the first thing she asked after she got off the plane is, has he received the promise? And I'm like, the promise? What do you mean the promise? And then later on, I was so curious that I went to my dad and I'm like, what is she talking about, the promise? And then he explained to me. And as a matter of fact, when I was 15, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I knew what the Holy Spirit is, but I never was exposed to it being called the promise. But we just finished reading it right now, and Jesus told his disciples, guys, there's a promise of the Father. And I'm here to tell you that if you settle for living a Christian life where you just come to church, give your tithe, you sing the pretty little songs, and you just have a little bit of faith and you're encouraged when you hear a good word, you are cutting yourself short. Because the Bible says that God wants to fill you of the Holy Spirit. We just finished reading that John baptized with water. But the Bible says that one greater than John would come after him, with just Jesus, and that he would baptize us with Holy Spirit and fire. As long as you don't have the power of God inside of you, as long as you're not filled of the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of things that you can't move. There's a lot of purpose, destiny that you were created to accomplish and to do for the glory of God that you will never do in your own power. We need the power of God. We need to become people that are desperate for more of God every single day that we wake up. What's the first thing you do in the morning? How passionate are you for God? When was the last time that you got serious and you asked God to fill you of His Holy Spirit? He's about to leave. He's actually moments from being ascended, and this is what he tells his disciples. He tells them, you guys, wait and ask God for the promise, because it's going to be something that's going to change your life. And if you read the book of Acts and then 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, you see that that promise falling over all the disciples changed their lives forever. You see, even walking with Jesus, they made so many mistakes. I mean, Peter denied him 3 times. Between James and John, they were fighting to see who would sit at the right and left-hand side of God when they get to heaven. I mean, there's so many immaturities, so many mistakes that they did. But once they're filled up the Holy Spirit, you don't see mistakes anymore. You see purpose. They woke up and they were led by the Spirit to go into this place. And they were on their boats, another situation. Paul was on his boat to go to another place, but the Spirit told him not to go there. So you see how their lives are being led by the Spirit. Let me tell you something. Our lives would be so much different if we give the Holy Spirit a chance. I want to get to what the Holy Spirit does, because we talked about power, but it's not just power that we receive from Him. You see, we never were meant to go through life alone. God made provision for you and me so we can have God inside of us guiding every single move. Wouldn't it be amazing if every single decision, every single situation that you're unclear about, every single time that you're not sure what to do, what to say, where to go, how to move, you would have God telling you in your ear, do this, go here, do it this way. This is the best route. How many of you guys would like that? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is God. Everybody say, the Holy Spirit is God. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Never think that the Holy Spirit is inferior to God the Father. You see, all three of them are one. The Bible says that all three of them are one. You have God the Father. They all function differently. They have different functions. But all three of them are God. They're equal in power. So we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So when you come to Christ, the Bible says that if you're genuine and you open your heart and you receive Jesus, like we see people come to the altar call and they say, you know, I want to turn my life over to Jesus. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and he starts dwelling inside of you. I mean, you don't see it. You probably don't feel something different at the moment, but the Holy Spirit is there. And with time, if you start preparing the way so he could start taking over your life, your decisions, you're going to start seeing how that's going to affect your life in a positive way. How many say amen? So the minute you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit or God himself comes to live inside of you. You see, all the people in the Old Testament that sometimes we read about, Abraham, Moses, all the prophets, the minor prophets, the major prophets, they didn't have this privilege because there still hadn't been remission. But the minute that Jesus died for our sins, he resurrected and he went to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit, and now he lives inside of us. It's not that God speaks to a prophet and then the prophet speaks to the people. Now God speaks to us. How many say amen? I could be going through a desperate situation and I could get on my knees wherever I am at whatever time and I could speak directly to God. How many praise God for that? That's amazing. So God lives inside of us. From that moment on, you can give him more space in your life or you could just push him to the corner. All of this is dependent on your actions and your decisions. That's so key. How desperate you are for God, how much you want of his presence. If you start a relationship with him and you start devouring the Bible, I love people that come to church and they receive Jesus and they're so excited and they want to read the Bible. They don't understand. They ask questions. You know, if you start devouring the Bible, you start praying to God, you start attending the services, you join the Forward movement, what happens? The Holy Spirit starts growing inside of you. If you just come to church when it's convenient to you and you have other priorities that are more important to you than him, then you start limiting God's place in your life. You start pushing the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you to a corner. These disciples that we talked about, they followed Jesus for 3 years. They knew him in person, but what I love the most about them is that even though they were imperfect, they always wanted more of God. I wish there was somebody here that would want more of God. Lift your hand if you're not conformed or if you're not satisfied with what you have of God and you want more and you want to dive deeper. Raise your hand. Where are my unsatisfied people? Awesome. John chapter 16, verse number 7. I want to read you this. It has to do with the Holy Spirit as well. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. How many of you want to know the truth? It is to your advantage that I go away. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. But it applies to us as well. Jesus is getting ready to go to the Father and leave his disciples. And they're freaking out. But he tells them, it is to your advantage that I leave. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Now, this Helper is the Holy Spirit. So one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit is not only that he gives us power to overcome things that we can on our own, but he does what? He helps us. The Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send them to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you. This is Jesus talking to them still. But you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you the things to come. So check this out. Just to recap this a little bit. There's so much about the Holy Spirit in these few verses. It first says that he's our helper. Everybody say he's our helper. Man, could you imagine having God every single day of your life inside of you, helping you when you are in need? Well, that's exactly what you have. What we don't understand, and I know sometimes it's hard to see it like this because we're tempted and we have so many distractions, we have so many things going on in our lives, but you have everything you need inside of you. It's not of you, because if you go to Barnes & Noble today, I'm sure you're going to find a whole section of self-help books. And they tell you, you got everything you need inside of you. You can make it with a positive attitude. Man can only reach a certain point. But when you open your heart and you receive Jesus, you have God living inside of you. That's why you have everything you need inside of you. You have God. And whenever you're in time of need, you could just go to him and say, God, I don't understand what's going on here, but clear it up for me. Help me. I'm trusting in you. I believe your word. And I know all this is going to work for my good. So I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to lose my cool. I'm just going to be calm and trust you. And God guides you. And in the end, after you get through the situation, you look back and you see the victory. And we call that a testimony. And we say, look, all this happened, and I didn't know why it was happening. But now that I'm at the end, I could look back, I see the purpose of God, and it was good. Everybody say, everything that God allows over my life is for my good. Sometimes God allows situations that test your faith. And you're like, why? I'm a Christian. Why is this happening to me? Why did they diagnose me with this infirmity? Why did I get this phone call? Why did this happen to me? Why did they lay me off from my work? Why didn't I get accepted at that university? Why didn't, and we have so many questions, and we don't realize that if we are sons of God and we have the helper, that everything is under control. There's a reason why. You just have to trust God and say, God, I don't understand, but I trust in you, and I know you have my best interest in mind. Can somebody give an applause to God and to the Holy Spirit, who is our helper? And look, interesting, really quickly, he starts saying a few things. It says that as a helper, he convicts people of sin. I mean, come on, who can convince somebody to turn their ways and to start living a life that is agreeable to God? Only the Holy Spirit. I could talk here, if I'm not anointed, if I don't see God, I could talk here forever and try to convince you to open your heart to God, and nothing's going to happen. But if the Holy Spirit is inside of me, and I speak, it's not my words, it's the Holy Spirit, and he starts convicting people of sin, and he starts changing hearts. People start saying, wow, for real, I need God in my life. I need a Savior. Who does that? The Holy Spirit. He convicts people of sin. It says that also he convicts people to live in righteousness. That sin that you struggle will disappear once you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of us have certain areas in our lives where we're more vulnerable. There's certain things that are more difficult for us to overcome and to live a pleasing life. But let me tell you, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not difficult and it's not a struggle to live in holiness. You struggle with living in holiness when you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, sin, temptation becomes so easily defeated. Instead of being fooled into it, because sometimes we fall into temptation and we do things and we didn't even know it. The enemy was plotting something, we fell. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you see a mile away. You start seeing how he's plotting. You start seeing how his mechanism works and how he's trying to fool you. You see it a mile away and you stay clear of it, because the Holy Spirit reveals to you, leads you to live in righteousness. The Bible also calls him here, I don't know if you caught it, the Spirit of Truth. More now than ever before, people want to know the truth. And I think it's crazy because people think that their truth is the truth. Now it's not about the truth, it's about my truth, right? And your truth could be different from my truth. It's all about what you believe. And if you believe something different from me, that's okay. But the Bible says that there is one truth. How many say amen? I was in Argentina yesterday and I had a taxi drive me to the airport, and the taxi cab driver was talking. You know, I started asking him if he goes to church and if he knows Jesus Christ. And he started telling me, no, I don't go to church, but, you know, I try to be a good person. And he started telling me a bunch of friends that he has. And this guy's Catholic and this guy's Methodist. And, you know, we all get along. Even. And I told him, yeah, but it's important that you know what Jesus did, because Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to know the truth, the absolute truth, the only truth? Get to know Jesus. And the Bible says that you're filled of the Holy Spirit once you open your heart to Jesus. And the Spirit of Truth, there's a Spirit of Truth, comes to dwell inside of you. Let me tell you something. You can never be deceived when the Holy Spirit of Truth lives in you. Never. You're not going to be fooled. There's going to be times in your Christian walk where there are certain decisions that are really confusing, and it's not white or black. They're very grayish, and you don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He always leads you to the truth. How many say amen? Amen. And another thing that we caught here in these verses is that he tells us of the things to come. This is one of the things that I love about the Holy Spirit. A lot of people pay a lot of money to psychics. Please tell me who I'm going to marry. Is he going to be bald? Is he going to have money? People love to know about their future. Am I going to live a long life? What's it going to be like? Am I going to be happy? People love to know the future, but one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, it starts revealing God's plan for your life. It starts telling you of things to come. No longer will your future be blurred. You may not know all the details, but you know it's going to be awesome. And God sometimes shows you the picture, the final picture, just like Abraham. God spoke to Abraham and told him, Abraham, look at the stars. Count them if you can. And the guy started trying to count them. He said, I can. Well, that's how many sons you're going to have. And I'm going to make nations out of you. And I'm going to bless you. And not only will I bless you, but you're going to be a blessing. Everybody say big picture. Big picture. But then God gives him a piece and he tells him, okay, now start walking in the desert until I tell you to stop. So sometimes the things that God tells you in the moment don't add up to the picture that God shows you. But when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, he starts convicting you and he starts showing you the future. And that makes the process even more enjoyable because you know you're in the purpose of God. You're not focused on where you are today, but you're focused on what God called you to do in that picture that God showed you. I believe that Abraham, during his whole lifetime, he wasn't focused on, oh my gosh, I have to now sacrifice my son Isaac. But why is God doing this? He wasn't focused on, oh man, why does God now want me to walk into the desert, into the wilderness? I mean, what kind of God is this? He was always focused in what God had promised them. You see, if you have the Holy Spirit and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll always have something to look straight at. And that makes the process more enjoyable. You could be tested. You could be going through the desert like Abraham was, but you know that that's not your rightful place. You know that God showed you something, that God spoke to you, something that is so great over your generation, over your family, over your financial situation. And when you believe that, things start to change. Everybody say, the Holy Spirit reveals to us the things that are to come. You know that if God is for you, nothing can stand against you. That if the Almighty God has you protected and he's opening doors and taking you to places never imagined, he's doing everything that he's promised that he would do. If you go with me to the book of John, now we're going to read chapter 14. You guys like learning about the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit should be your best friend. What you desire from the moment you open your eyes to the moment you close your eyes and go to sleep. John 14, 25 and 26 says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Once again it says, but the helper, everybody say the helper. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Everybody say all things. All things. And bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. So this is Jesus before he died telling his disciples, look, I'm going to pass away and I'm going to die and I'm going to resurrect. There's a lot of things that are going to go on and then I'm going to leave. But I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, which is the helper. Now, they were a little slow and they didn't get it because after Jesus resurrected, they had forgotten and Jesus had to remind them all over again. But catch a few things that he says here that we didn't see in the other verses. It says that the Holy Spirit calls him the helper here, but he says that he will teach us all things. Now, what encompasses that word all? Anybody? Everything. Thank you. All. Everything. Nothing is left behind. He, the Holy Spirit, teaches us all things. Everything you could ever want. Everything you could ever need. Whenever you need direction, whenever you're thinking, is that the guy for me or not? Is that the girl for me or not? You know, should I take this job? Should I move? Should I do this? Everything you could ever need, the Holy Spirit tells you. He confirms things. You know, I always encourage people whenever they're asking God for something, because sometimes we could be so manipulative. We could want something for us so bad that we don't tell God, if this is the best thing for me,
let me get it.
No, we try to convince God. God, this is, God, trust me. This is it. Give me this, because if I have this, I'll be the happiest person. God, please. And we think we know more than God. But the Holy Spirit, the Bible says he teaches us all things. He knows what is best for you. You see, God already went to the future and came back. He already knows what is your best option. He already knows who is that person that's best for you, that's going to make you happy, and that's not going to leave you 2 years down the road. He knows all things. So when you connect to God, who's gone to the future and come back and knows what's best for you, man, you have all that potential inside of you. And all you have to do is connect with him on a daily basis. You see, our lives would be so much different if we would go to God every single day and tell him, God, I have plans for this day. There's certain things that I desire and that I'm asking you for. Jesus even asked God for a lot of things. But if you notice, he always says, God, but let it be your will and not my will. You guys remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was about to go to the cross and he knew that he was only hours away and he was in anguish. He tells his disciples to pray for him. He would tell one of his disciples, I'm deeply saddened. Please intercede for me. Pray for me. And he would leave them there and then he'll go to pray. And the Bible says that he was going through so much anguish that he would sweat blood. Literally, drops of blood would fall into the ground because he knew that he had to go. And one of the things he told God is, if there's any way that I could not have to go through this, please get me out of this one. This is tough. But then he'll finish his prayer saying, but let it not be my will, but your will. If our prayers would always end with that little phrase at the end, after you ask God for everything that you need, but God, let it not be my will, let it be your will instead, because you know better. The Bible says that God's thoughts are higher than yours. God's ways are greater than your ways. Trust me, making your own decisions, a lot of them are going to be wrong. And it's going to be lost time. It's going to be heartache. They're going to translate into so many negative things. But the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. That is something amazing to know. He lives inside of you and he teaches you all things. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're never clueless because God is filling you constantly. He's filling you in on what you should do. He's filling you in to prepare you for those things that are coming. Even when you go through stuff, he tells you, keep going. At the end of this tunnel, it's going to be much better. I'll help you. I'll get you through this. He is the helper after all. I've asked people about finding their couple and some answer with such anxiety. Working with a lot of young people, I see people become so desperate. And I could relate a little bit to that because I didn't meet Carly until I was a little older. We met when I was 27. And I was like, God, don't forget about me. You know, I want to get married. You could get so caught up in this anxiety and say, God, you know, where's the person? Try to force things. But then it's interesting because I talk to other people. They don't even think about it. They're like, you know what? I have so many things going on. God is using me, and I know God is taking me to places. And there are people that trust God. They're trusting in God, and they're letting the Holy Spirit lead them. Another proof that he lives inside of you is in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. I'll just read it to you real quick. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Everybody say, this body, come on, say it with me, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, back in the Old Testament, there used to be a tabernacle, and there used to be an ark, and that symbolized where the presence of God was. And only the high priest, walking in extreme holiness before God, can go inside that chamber once a year to talk to God and get remission of sins for the entire people. But now, that temple is not a place where only one person can go. You are the temple. Isn't that a privilege? God lives inside of me. I can talk to him whenever I want. I have open access to him. No matter how many times I fail, I could go up to God and say, God, give me strength to do this. I need this. And God is always there to help us. How many say amen? Amen. I brought some things from home. And this was kind of on the fly. So I wanted just to illustrate a little bit about what it means. Here, if you can lay it right here. Thank you. This is us. This is our life. This glass is empty, but our lives, we decide what we fill our lives with. In the Bible, one of the things that it compares the Holy Spirit to is water and fire, like we just sang, right? The Bible says that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have like rivers of living water flowing within you, right? So when we come to Jesus Christ, what happens? Holy Spirit comes to live in us. As you walk in God, you can continue to be filled more of His presence and give the Holy Spirit more space. But if you don't have a relationship with God, if you don't pray every single day, if you don't read the Bible, if you don't have that desire to want to know more of God, wanting to connect to that helper, because you realize that without Him, you can't do anything. If you don't have that, you start filling your life with other stuff. Somebody packed this really good. There we go. You start filling your life. And because you don't give Him a chance, you start filling your life. And the Holy Spirit was there. You did receive Him. There is some water down there, right? But it's just like you got so much junk, so much stuff, and it just clogs it. Because some people say, why should I ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit? If the Bible says that when I give my heart to Jesus, I have the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you had some water. The thing is that because you didn't give Him a chance in your life, because you didn't encourage that growth, because you didn't go to Him every single day and allow Him to grow inside of you, inevitably you're going to be filled of something. And if it's not God, it's going to be something else. We're filled of selfish desires. We're filled of entertainment. We're filled of egotism, addictions. You can't even tell that the water's there. But on the other hand, I have another glass here. And I'm going to ask for a helper now. Jesus, come on up. Hold my mic real quick. Hope I don't make a mess here. Okay, same example. You come to church. You open your heart. You receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you. And you have, there's the water. But there's still a lot of space left to be filled. Void space always will be filled with something. And if you don't let God fill it, somebody else or something else will fill it. But here's what happens. When we come to Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, but you know what? We start a relationship with God. We start pouring more. We start receiving more of the Holy Spirit. We start praying. We start praying fervently, and we understand that prayer is how we connect with God. We say, I want to grow in God. I don't just want to come to church and sit down. I want to join the forward movement. You're learning more of God. You're growing close to Him. We don't miss a service. I'm not missing Sundays forever. Even if they invite me to do a part-time and to make a lot of money, because that's my time to God. You start honoring God. You're filling yourself more. And you start getting involved to the point that your cup overflows. When your cup overflows and when it's filled with the Holy Spirit, there's nothing else to be filled. There's no place for sin in your life. There's no place for anything else, because you're filled of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. And what the Holy Spirit wants you to pursue is to be filled 100% of the Holy Spirit. 100%. Have your cup filled. Have your life filled of the Holy Spirit. And this is what God spoke to me as I was preparing this. I felt the presence of God so strong while I was reading these verses and preparing the sermon. And I went to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, and I read something interesting that the Holy Spirit does as well. It says, in Him you also trusted. How many of you have trusted in God? After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So everybody says the Holy Spirit seals us. And what this means is that we are His. When you give the Holy Spirit a chance in your life and you start recognizing Him and you start giving Him a place and you start turning your life, your decisions over to Him, and no longer will you do what you want to do and go after your selfish desires, but now you tell God, what should I do in this situation? God, I need you. Open the way. Teach me how to do this. Teach me how to have favor with people. Teach me how to win my generation for Christ. Teach me how to be useful in this time where you've placed me. Once you start doing that, the Bible says that He comes and He seals you. You are His. But it also means that once you're sealed, nothing can get in without God's permission. You see, that's a little bit what we were talking about when you live in holiness and you're filled of the Holy Spirit, man, you don't have to worry about sin. You defeat sin. Sin is easy to overcome. The reason why sometimes we struggle and sometimes we have all the right intentions, if it was for us, we want to please God. I think everybody here comes to church because they want to please God. Am I right? But you can't do it on your own. You can't make it on your own. You need the helper. Hello, that's why he has that name. That's what he does. He helps us. You need him. So when you're filled of the Holy Spirit because you live a life that walks accordingly to God, he seals you and there's no room for the enemy to come and invade your mind and invade your heart. He may come and he tell you you're a failure and you stand right up and you say, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not only going to be blessed, but I'm going to be a blessing. I could be going through a moment right now. I could be going through a rut. I could be going through a tight financial situation. I could have been diagnosed with something, but I know that I'm going to be healed. I know that I'm going to be a blessing to other people. I know that I'm going to stand up. I'm going to overcome this. And God is going to be glorified in all of this. Everybody say sealed. Holy Spirit, he seals us. Nothing will be able to steal your joy. No situation can take your faith. No problem can threaten your peace because you've been sealed by God himself. Once you're sealed by God himself, trust me, there's nothing that could get in. I love how the Bible puts it because he says that we're safe in his arms. He holds us in his arms. Man, when you're protected by God, when you honor God and you give God the place that he wants to have in your heart, you are protected. You can rest every single night assured that God protects you. I have the job of putting Luca to sleep. And every single night, I'll read him a little book. I bought him one from Argentina now, you know, to switch it up a little. But after we read the book, we close it. Sometimes we read the Bible as well. And then we pray together. Man, and I just start declaring. I go, God, I declare over his life that he's going to be a man of God. That above all things and above all success that you're going to give him, he's going to be a man that fears God. He's going to be a man that's going to give his heart to you and you're going to have your rightful place in his life. And then I start declaring, God, I declare that you're going to protect him today as he goes to sleep. He's not going to have any nightmares. You're going to protect him. He's going to wake up. And we thank you for, you know, I teach him how to be grateful. We thank you for this day, for the provision, for the food that mommy cooked for us. And we start glorifying God. And it's important to be grateful. It's important to do this on a daily basis. To close up, the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost, what does Pentecost mean now? 50, all right. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Everybody say they all wanted the same thing. Carly and I, as well as the leaders of JTP Church, we're just starting, but our desire is that we reach a level where every single person that comes here is connected to that. We all want the same thing, and it's we want more of God in this city. We want to establish the kingdom of God in this place. We want every single person that's hopeless out there, that doesn't know about Jesus Christ, to come and to know that he is a helper, that they don't have to go out living on their own, that there's resources, that there's favor, that there's grace of God over their lives, that there still is a healer, and there still is somebody that leads them to be everything that God called them to be. They all wanted the same thing. Make sure the people you hang with want the same thing you want. Make sure that the people that you spend the most time around think like you and push you to want to love God more and push you to want to live in holiness more. In verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, and suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Fast forward 10 days, these people obeyed Jesus. They went into the upper room in Jerusalem. And they stayed there locked up 10 days asking, God, give us this promise. Give us this promise. I'm sure that they didn't spend their time in that room like this, just meditating. I'm sure it was fervent. We need the promise, God. Give us this promise. Now we're left alone. Jesus is gone. We need something that would guide us. What are we going to do now? We have no idea. Some of them actually, before Jesus told them that, had even gone back to fishing, gone back to doing what they used to do. But now they're here. God, give us direction. Give us. And the Bible says after 10 days of persevering, suddenly, everybody say suddenly. I believe that's going to be a suddenly in every single one of your lives very soon. That as you start giving the Holy Spirit a place in your life, that things are going to start to happen. The Bible says that in these times, young people are going to start seeing visions. There's so many things that God wants to show this generation. There's so many things that God wants to do. God wants to use you to prophesy. God wants to show you visions of things that he's going to do through you and things that he's going to do. He wants to prepare you for things that are to come, but we're too distracted. We don't give time for the Holy Spirit to show us these things. But the suddenly is coming. Everybody say it's coming. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It wasn't quiet. It was a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. The way I picture this, you know how you sometimes light a lighter and there's like a little tongue of fire on top of the lighter? Well, it was like that, but on a bigger scale, on top of the heads of everybody that was there, was like fire of God was there, sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, this whole thing, a lot of people get freaked out about speaking in tongues, but it's not something that man does. It's not something, I can't write a script for you. Okay, here are your tongues. Practice them every single day, 5 to 10 minutes a day. No, the Bible says that the Spirit gives them utterance. And the Bible says that there was people from all over. Remember, it was feast. All Jews from all over Israel would come to Jerusalem, which was the capital, and they would gather there to partake of this feast. So there was people from Judea, there was people from Galilee, there was people from all different places, and they all have different dialects or different languages. But the Holy Spirit filled them, and they were speaking tongues that wasn't their language. And then people started hearing them and saying, well, aren't these people from Galilee? Aren't these people from here? And they're speaking our native tongue. The Bible says that they were filled of the Holy Spirit, and the evidence that they were filled of the Holy Spirit is that they were speaking in tongues. Let me tell you, church, we don't preach about this as much as we should, but you should ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit every single day. If you haven't received the promise, man, start today. And if you have to go 10 days asking God every single day before you start your day to fill you, do it. And if it takes 40, do it 40 days. But the Bible says that we need to desire this, because this is what's going to determine whether we're going to live in the power of the Holy Spirit or we're just going to be Christians that live powerlessly. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. But we have so much more that God left for us. Why leave that to the side? God created us for so much more. And these people, they were all united. They were there asking for the same thing. And when the Holy Spirit is really desired, when he sees that people really want his manifestation, he shows up. The contrary is also true. When you don't give him a space, he's never going to be in a place where he's not welcome. He's never going to dwell in a place where he's not wanted. You wouldn't go to a house where people would treat you bad. Imagine knocking on a friend's house and then they open the door and they don't even tell you to come in. They just go and sit down with the remote control. They don't even talk to you. Man, I'm not coming here anymore. People don't appreciate me. That's how the Holy Spirit feels when we come to church and everything, but we don't have a relationship with him. So I believe that something is going to happen in this waiting room that we're in right now. I believe that God is taking us to another level, and it's going to require more time in his presence. But let me tell you, 1 second in his presence can't compare to 10 years worth of your effort, because the Holy Spirit has power that you can't even imagine. The Bible says that when these people were filled of the Holy Spirit, that's when the church started. And these men revolutionized. Man, they were even threatened to be killed. A lot of them, or most of them, died preaching the gospel. And man, nothing can stop these people. They would be put into jails, whipped for preaching the gospel. And these people had strength, and they're like, when are we going out? I need to preach. They had fire inside of them. And I think that what the church needs today is more of the Holy Spirit and more of the fire of God. Anybody want more of God's fire today? Stand on your feet. I want to do a special calling today. I asked some of our leaders to be able to help us minister along with my wife and everybody that's hungry for more of God. And if you want today to be that first day where you're going to say, man, from this day on, I'm going to start asking God to give me the promise, to fill me of the Holy Spirit, to baptize me in tongues. I want to be filled of God. I want to have that power. I don't want to live a religious life. That's not what God called you to live. If you're living a religious life, just coming to church and going through the whole works, man, you're missing the whole essence of it. God wants to take you deeper. How many say amen to that? I can't help to think about what kind of crazy things. Think about this. Before we pray, what kind of crazy things would happen or could happen if we locked ourselves up for 10 days to do nothing other than seek God and seek the promise, the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What would happen? I wonder what kind of crazy doors God would open in this city. I wonder what kind of crazy miracles God would start doing in our streets and in our neighborhoods. I wonder how many would start seeing dead people, not ghosts, but people resurrected by the power of God. I wonder if we would even have a need for hospitals anymore, or jails, or psych wards. I wonder what would happen. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to find out. I'm ready to go and take it up a notch and start going into the presence of God. I don't want to be a phony believer. The Bible says that God's coming back for a church that's filled with the Holy Spirit, that's waiting for Him, that's connected to Him, that's listening to Him every single day and obeying His word and living in holiness. And that's what I want to do. And I want to challenge you, JTP Church, to not settle for anything less. You were created by God, for God, for an incredible purpose. And the Holy Spirit wants to tell you and wants to show you things that you wouldn't be able to even imagine, even fathom to yourself. But you need to connect to Him. He's wanting, but He's never going to speak if you don't give Him the opportunity to do it. So I want to open up the altar today, and we're going to worship now. Gabby, if you could help us out, and Melissa, we're going to worship God. And if you want more of God, and if you want today to mark a new beginning and say, God, while I'm waiting, I want to thrive while I'm waiting. I want to make the most out of this, and I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not happy with where you are with the Holy Spirit, if you want more, this is your time. Only those who are thirsty, only those who are hungry, come up here. Only those who want more of God, only those who want more power, who want the helper to come, come up here, and we're going to pray for you guys as we worship God in this place. Mm-hmm.